in this very first verse, the Lord tells Arjuna, you are worrying for things that do not merit such grief. And you also speak as a jnani. But a jnani doesn't worry about the dead or not yet dead. In fact, Adi Shankara in his Bhashyam says that Arjuna talks like an unmatta, a mad person. See here, you are worrying is a very first sentence, the very first upadesa of Lord. You are worrying. Also, do not worry is the last sentence in the very last upadesa. You are worrying and do not worry. Therefore, we can infer that the purpose of Gita is the removal of grief, an assurance that we set out to prove. In fact, the very first chapter is called Arjuna Vishada Yogam, about Arjuna's grief. We may question that it is not about a generic Vishada Yoga. It is about Arjuna's Vishada Yoga. If so, how could the remedies offered to Arjuna be relevant in our case? To understand this, let us briefly know the context of chapter 1. You know, the very first verse of chapter 1 is Dhritarashtra's question. In fact, we discussed in one of the sessions before, this very first verse could be interpreted to give the objective of the whole Gita. Then in chapter 1, verses 2 to 20 describe the war field, battlefield. In 21 to 23, Arjuna commands the Lord to take to a place to supervise the battlefield. Of course, it was totally unnecessary, given that both the sides have blown their horns and prepared to fight. But Arjuna's act is a precursor to what is coming next. In verses 24 to 25, the Lord takes the chariot as per the Arjuna's order. Then follows Arjuna's lecture. This is the important part, as we need to understand the three key emotions of Arjuna, which was the root cause of his grief. In the verse 26 and 28, we see Arjuna's raga, the attachment to his kith and kin. Raga is desire. Normally, where is the desire? Raga is there. It is followed by krodha, an anguish, when there is an impediment to attain the object of desire. Then lobha, it's a possessiveness once the desired objective is attained. And shoka. Shoka is a grief for the loss of the object, or the fear of losing it. What we see in the verses 29 to 31 in chapter 1 is a shokam of Arjuna, which is coming from the fear of the death of his beloved people. The situation is causing him to grieve. So for Arjuna, death is a shoka karanam. Death is the shoka karanam. In the remaining verses, from verses 31 to 46, Arjuna's words reflect moham. It is a disillusion or despondency. See, the raga and the following effects like krodha, lobha, shoka are the states of mind. But moha is an affliction on the buddhi or the intellect. When the intellect is afflicted by moha, it lacks conviction. It gets confused. Also, when the raga is strong, the desire is strong, it can make the intellect to dance to its tune. You know, when you have an exam next day, but you want to watch television, the desire to watch television would actually rule the mind, the intellect. Sanjaya states in the last verse in chapter 1 that Arjuna was completely afflicted by Moga. Shoka Sambhigna Manasa. Sitting on the chair and dropping his voice of instrument, his instruments of war. So what do we observe from chapter 1? Firstly, Arjuna's situation is very different to ours. We may face a different kind of problems in our lives. Yet the impact of grief and the despair are common to all. You see, we generally view circumstances as a cause of grief, circumstances as a shoka karna. And therefore, we usually tend to change the circumstances to relieve our sorrow. Is it not? But such solutions do not last, because with every change in circumstances, a different type of grief comes. And also, as circumstances vary from person to person, time to time, place to place, etc., a common solution must address all circumstantial problems. We also see in the chapter 1 that Lord was simply listening. He was not talking. To listen is a great skill. No, active listening is an essential part of good communication. We learn that. We also see the Lord simply obeying Arjuna when he ordered him to take the chariot to the middle of the war field, even though that order was untimely. It's a great lesson to us, because it is about discharging our role responsibilities no matter what the situation is. The question is, why didn't the Lord attend to Arjuna's grief immediately? Since Arjuna has spoken along to the end of this chapter 1, we expect the Lord to give advice from the beginning of chapter 2. But he doesn't do. By inquiring on this, we are able to learn more. See, in chapter 2, the first verse starts with Sanjaya's words to Dhritarashtra. He's describing the imminent conversation between the Lord and Arjuna. What sort of conversation is it going to be? Perhaps Sanjaya is indicating this by referring the Lord by the name Madhusudana. You know, generally the name Madhusudana is given to Lord Krishna as the one who destroyed the demon called Madhu. But the word Madhu also means Atma, the self. Therefore, I think by calling Madhusudana in this verse, Sanjaya, the visionary, is indicating what is coming. The Lord is going to pass the supreme knowledge, Atma Jnanam. So we get the first clue that the truth to be revealed in this chapter is about Atma, the self. But the Lord is still not giving the upadesam to Arjuna. Even in verse 2 and 3, he is simply prodding Arjuna with questions and making fun of him. Kudastava kashmalamidam. What is this? Shame on you. Are you a coward who are showing reluctance to fight, and so on and so forth. You know, normally we jump to give advice to others and quick solutions to remove the grief, at least momentarily. But the Lord doesn't do that. Another reason is that the Lord is still seen as a friend and a charioteer. He is not the guru yet. Why? It is because Arjuna is not the Sishya yet, for which he has to qualify. So when and how does one qualify to seek knowledge or solution? This requires four important steps. Firstly, we must realize that we have a problem. Without such realization, we will not seek or accept any solution. Secondly, having realized that there is a problem, we must have the will to find the solution. Without the will, we will not seek advice or even any help offered to us. We'd be in vain. Thirdly, we must exhaust all our ways and means to conclude that the solution to the problem is not within our reach. In other words, we seek external help, an illuminator or the guru. That's the third stage. When that search is sincere, we will find the guru to whom we must surrender. This is the fourth and final step that one should take. Only then the guru-sishya relationship begins. Only then the true salvation starts. When does Arjuna become fit to receive the knowledge? Not in the first chapter, we can understand. But in the second chapter, after hearing Bhagavan's words, perhaps it is his accumulated punya, his mind opens. He is able to look at the situation and able to handle his mind. One who handles the mind, one's own mind, is a true warrior. This is revealed in the fourth sloka as Arjuna ponders, how can I engage in a war with Bhishma and Drona? How could I return the arrows and kill my own grandfather and guru, who are adorable? You see, now he's no more building on excuses as he did in the first chapter. He's at least thinking about returning the arrows back. In the fifth verse, he goes by further saying that he would rather take food by begging than winning the war and become a king. It just shows his nobility and the willingness to sacrifice. In the sixth verse, he reaches the third step as he admits that his mind and intellect are of no use. He says, my mind is deluded with moha, not able to select what is right, whether to win the war or give up the war. And then in the verses 7 and 8 in chapter 2, Arjuna reaches the final step to become a true seeker as he surrenders to the Lord. Te Sishyaham, I am your disciple. Sadhimam, please give me instruction. Is surrendering. See, surrender is not an action but attitude. It is the most difficult state to acquire. To surrender is to have the greatest strength of character. So Arjuna says after surrendering that he doesn't know anymore what is right and what is wrong. He wants very clear and definitive instruction. That is, he is now seeking beyond the circumstantial problem. It is a perfect state of a seeker. Also by saying Nischitam Brohi, that he demands a clear instruction from the Lord. But there is also another meaning to this. Nischitam Brohi. Nischitam is one that is a definitive, true, eternal knowledge. So therefore he is seeking the knowledge of Vedanta. By another lakshana of Sishya, he becomes a true Sishya. Sashana Yogyaha Sishyaha. Sashana Yogyaha Sishyaha. One who is qualified to receive Vedantic knowledge is a Shishya. Perhaps that's the reason why the Lord is starting to give the profound Vedantic wisdom in his initial Upadesam to Arjuna.